everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. Tom, I am smiling because it looks like the windy weather is in our rearview mirror, right?
Well, tell me. Not all of it. Apparently, we're going to have some breezes today and maybe a few on into the evening.
Oh, okay.
But not like it has been, I don't think.
No. Okay, so it's shaping up to be a gorgeous Easter weekend. And, of course, hope everybody is having a Good Friday. It is April the 18th, 2025. Bill Buckmaster, along with Tom Fairbanks, who's engineering and producing our show. We welcome you to the program. We're broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios in central Tucson, where we have the Bustos Media Broadcast Center, five radio stations under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted place voice for live news and talk. In January, we began our 15th year with our radio program, and we've now done we're in our 37th year with Tucson Radio and TV. Worldwide live listening of our program and all of our podcasts. Pretty much every show that we've done over the last 14 years plus at buckmastershow.com. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. A couple of media shout-outs. TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan and the gang over there have been big supporters. Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, Dan Shear, Tucson Spotlight. Joe Ferguson is here, and we have a nice relationship developing with Joe's Tucson Agenda, which is one of the growing online news services. Joe, of course, former veteran reporter for the Arizona Daily Star. And on Friday, I like to bring in one of my friends from the media, and we kind of co-anchor the show. Joe, great to see you.
Glad to be here.
Also, we welcome back to the show John Kamik. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill.
John is the director of Tucson Water, and we try to get John on every quarter, sometimes a little bit longer, and we welcome him now back to the program. And, of course, this is a very good time to have someone from water come on our program. There's so much going on, water rates. There's the whole issue about recycled water. But before we get to the kind of those topics, overall, how is the water supply looking as we get ready to gear up for our for the dry season before the monsoon? And I tell you, John, I'm concerned that this is one of the driest periods, I think, on record here in Tucson.
Yeah, that's a great question, Bill. And we get that all the time at Tucson Water. And we do see increased demand when we have these dry spells like we're having this spring. You see a little tick up in usage as everybody's trying to keep their vegetation mostly and their landscaping going. But for obvious reasons, we always pay attention to what's going on in the Colorado, right? Mm-hmm. So how much snow just happened in the Rocky Mountains in the last year, and that dictates the health of the Colorado River, which ultimately dictates how we all use the Colorado in the future. Tucson, Phoenix, L.A.
What are you hearing about?
It wasn't a very good snowpack.
Oh,
so,
that's not good news.
So it's not good news. The reservoirs, Lake Mead and Lake Powell, have not rebounded from a good runoff, and we just didn't have a really heavy snow season in the southern parts of the Rockies. The northern Rockies and the Sierras in California, they had some great winter storms, but for what ends up in the Colorado runoff, it just never materialized this year.
I mean, we're at Joe Ferguson, where I think a half an inch of rain where we should be for year to date, 2.5 inches, but it's, if you go back to like last August or September, it's the driest period on record for Tucson, Arizona.
And you can see it everywhere you are.
Everywhere. The cactus are all, you know, shriveling up. And we are. Those of us that like to keep a garden, I like to do it. Folks have said, well, Bill, you got such a green thumb. Well, yeah, I wouldn't have a green thumb if I didn't have a hose and I didn't have water. So, yeah, it's going to be a big deal, and we hope you never can predict the summer rainy season. Let's turn it now over to Joe Ferguson.
So I think the best thing to talk about is probably the differential water rates. The Pima County Board of Supervisors had a meeting last week, and they decided not to take action, but their documents suggested that they were going to aggressively go after the city of Tucson again over differential water rates. A draft proposal suggested giving the power to Jan Lesher to do everything possible to protest those new rates that are going to go into go back to the council in about 60 days. And so, you know, what are your thoughts about, you know, another possible round of legal fights?
Yeah, and differential rates is at the top of mind. Like you said, it's what we're in the middle of a 60-day process as part of the state statute. Whenever you change utility rates, municipal utility rates, you have to have a notice of intent, which was done in early April. And then 60 days later, roughly at least 60 days later, in our case, it'll be June 17th. So on June 17th, there will be a public hearing at the mayor and council meeting. And at that time, that's when council will actually consider whether or not to move forward with a policy of the differential rates as proposed. So over the course of the last year and a half, Tucson Water, with the help of a lot of subject matter experts at the national level in the utility rate making process, did a new reanalysis of can you justify a differential rate? Is it out there? And that analysis came back and said, yes, there is a difference of cost of service for those in unincorporated Pima County compared to those in the incorporated areas like City of Tucson and Marana. So as a department, we were given direction by Mayor and Council, and we'll return to Mayor and Council, and we have information on our website now saying if they choose to move away from the universal rate structure, which has been in place, into a differential type rate structure, there are some options for them to consider.
So I think it would be helpful here to point out a judge, when this came up before, what it was about a year and a half ago, a judge basically threw it out. What's different here? You said there was an analysis. Could you kind of articulate what's different this time around, John?
Yeah, one of the issues in the first case, without getting too much into it, is it. It looked like there was an outcome already predetermined before an in-depth analysis was done, more or less. And so that's the direction that we've had the last year and a half, is do a complete in-depth analysis, use subject matter experts in the municipal rate-making space nationally, do that analysis in an order that has a new proposal. And so that's what this new proposal is. And it is based on a utility basis method in that rate making process. And we have three proposals, if council wants to move forward with that, that would support mostly the capital infrastructure and operational cost differences that are in the county compared to the incorporated areas of
and
the community.
And right now it's called a universal rate, correct?
That's how I term it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's a universal rate across the whole customer base.
Right? And when we say differential, this will be
more or less segregated.
Geographic? Or
It would be based on our customers that are in unincorporated Pima County versus the customers that are in this dominantly in the City of Tucson, Town of Marana, Oro Valley, those areas. So what the analysis helped show is that capital infrastructure cost to serve customers in the county, laying pipelines, taking on the assets of booster pumps and all that.
There's booster pumps because of a difference in elevation, right?
And some of it, lot of it's related to the difference in elevation. Mm-hmm. And there's just less customers per feet of pipe. So when you have to have these capital replacement programs to make keep everybody's level of service the same, you actually are spending more money in the unincorporated Pima County than you are in the city to replace the same footage of pipe or the same infrastructure needed to serve.
You're also talking about the issue of that those county users are using more water than the traditional, more swimming pools, more landscaping, more issues than that way. Why not suggest a different tier for those people who are just kind of above the baseline?
That is true. That is true. Besides, the majority of the differential is related to capital, but there is an operation and maintenance component because what we see is customers in the county do use slightly more water than those that are in the city or in the incorporated areas. And it's good to make that distinction. This is the normal process. Differential rates are commonly used in other water utilities throughout the state, and that's normal in the water industry rate making process. So other cities like Phoenix, Scottsdale, Yuma have had differential rates for customers outside their city limits for years.
So we've been something, is it safe to say, John, we've been something of an outlier when this comes to not setting up differential rates?
Oh yeah, most definitely. This
not only in Arizona, but is this almost like an industry standard in your business?
This is an industry standard in the water utility business, in the municipal water utility business, that whenever you serve outside your municipal areas, your customers that are in your incorporated areas, whether in our case a city, they carry the risk and burden of serving people outside of
you
the
have
city.
The liability.
You have
right?
the liability, exactly yeah. right. So this is very common. It just never was common in Tucson.
Hmm. Yeah. Let's go to the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The caller is Matt. Matt, you're on with John Kamik, and John heads up Tucson Water. Go ahead.
Yeah, John, just a couple questions, because this is something that, you know, I don't want to put you in the middle of. But the how many residents are affected by the differential rates, and what percentage of Tucson Water customers do they make up? And the last question would be, what – and this one sort of, you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but does the city council understand our reliance on the county for wastewater? And there was a time when the county manager considered putting wastewater rates on all sorts of things that, you know, that weren't normally covered by sewage, that he okay. was going to do it based off capacity. Thank
okay.
you.
All right. So it sounds like we've got a two-part question. How many residents are we talking about when the differential water rate, and generally what that percentage would be, perhaps, John?
Okay. No, that's a great question, and it's good to know the impact overall. So we have around 160,875 in-city customers. So that's city
in
of Tucson.
In the city of Tucson.
In the city of Tucson. Okay. And then when you look at the other incorporated areas like okay. Marana, the tribal area, South Tucson, you add on just shy of another 13,000 to them. And the unincorporated area, the area that differential rates would impact, is just north of about 71,000. So overall, the differential rate, if adopted, again, by council, would affect about 27% of the Tucson Water customer base.
Okay. So. Mm-hmm. Now, the second part about wastewater, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I don't have any thoughts on that one. I mean, the city used to be the wastewater provider for a long time, and it was the 1979 intergovernmental agreement between the city and the county that agreed to set up the regional wastewater authority, if you will, on that.
So. Yeah, it's for history here. Before my time, and I think before yours, Joe, back in the 70s, water was, it's always a big issue in Tucson, but it was really a big issue because four council members were actually recalled over water rates. But anyway, go ahead, Joe.
Well, I just wanted to get into the fact that, you know, water is also used as an economic development tool. And so a lot of the areas where we can do large-scale economic developments, bring in new employers, are going to be out in these areas. Has there been a discussion about how these differential water rates might impact the ability to bring in the next Raytheon?
No, that's a great question. There is a lot of developable land out there, whether it's state land or land inside the county. And Tucson Water Service Area does, as we know, extend far outside the area. But there is a water service policy that council has had in place since 2010 that kind of dictates when it's okay to make a connection and start that infill. I don't know directly if there's been an analysis done. I think one of the also key drivers is if someone becomes an incorporated area, whether a new city springs up in southern Arizona or an extension of the city of Tucson by doing annexation, then those differential rates would fall off and they would become the incorporated rates at the time. So there could be a potential down the road where new annexations or new development of a new community.
And one thing we have not talked about, what are we talking about money-wise here? That what would the average per month for the typical household go up? I believe it's like less than $9 per month, something like that.
So, yes, yeah. That's correct. Yeah, yeah, that's actually, yeah, that's very good. But, and we actually have across the board rates increase coming in July that was already adopted a couple of years ago. So there's a 5.5% to meet the cost of service for the whole utility. What this is will differentiate going forward how the new cost of service would be done out there and separating either 16, 19, 23%, whatever council decides, if they decide to move forward. But what it would look like if those rates went into effect, and thinking about the conservation fee as well and the green stormwater fee, a city of Tucson customer at the end of the day might go from about $52 a month and an unincorporated county customer to about $58.50, about $8.50.
Depending on water use and everything. That's
the average
customer.
Right.
We are up against the break. However, I really don't want to hold this caller over during the break, so I can make an executive decision here, John, quarterbacking the show. And I will take, I believe we have Dr. Joanne has a question. Go ahead, doctor.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, yeah, great, thank you. Yeah, I think I heard correct that approximately 27% of the users are from unincorporated Pima County.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay. And you also said that the unincorporated users use much more water than the others. And I'm wondering, do you have not a unit measure, but a percentage factor split between how much water percentage would be used by unincorporated versus incorporated?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Joanne. And I believe you didn't say a lot more water, did you, that they use a lot more in the county? But you did say they use perhaps more.
Okay. Yeah, they do use perhaps more. And if I remember some prior analysis, it was, 27% is roughly the customer base in unincorporated, but I believe they use about 32 to 34% of the water supply.
Oh, okay.
So it is, there's a difference.
All right. Let's take a break right here. Our support comes from Pima Council on Aging, and this is their first month with us as a new sponsor. And I'm just delighted to have PCOA now as a partner on the Buckmaster Show. PCOA's in-person and virtual healthy living programs focus on preventing falls, maintaining balance, improving flexibility and well-being while increasing socialization. PCOA's healthy living classes empower older adults to age well. Call PCOA Healthy Living 520-305-3410. It's our Friday Focus interview. John Kamik is here. John, the director of Tucson Water, and Joe Ferguson from the online news publication, The Tucson Agenda. We'll be right back.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com. Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, and our live line presented by Sean and the gang over at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. John Kamik is with us, and John has complimented me in the past as one of the few commentators who actually pronounces his name correct. Is that accurate, John?
Absolutely, Bill. You are one of the best. I think you must be Polish.
There you go. Well, I come from Chicago.
There you go.
And
you probably had a childhood friend.
I think I did, with Chicago being probably the largest concentration of Polish people outside of Warsaw. So a lot of Chicagoans with Polish ancestry. Joe Ferguson is here. Joe's my co-media host, and we're talking with John Kamik about water and Tucson. 70% of the wastewater, as you well know, John, comes from Pima County's wastewater treatment plant, the one out near Sweetwater Road, west of I-10. And Tucson Water has really been doing a lot with reclaimed water to serve parks, golf courses, and schools. You want to grow that number, right? That percentage.
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes for all the utilities in the area. So, you know, not only Tucson Water, but Oro Valley, Metro Water, Town of Marana. We all have proportional shares of effluent, if you will, associated with that. So the more that we can use it directly for aquifer recharge, mm-hmm. or like Tucson having its reclaimed water system, distributing it to schools, parks, golf courses, other green spaces, using a drop of water more than once across the board here in Southern Arizona is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Joe Ferguson?
And you are looking to do a little bit more than that in the future. So there is a proposal to build a new demonstration plant on the northwest side of town that would take it and make that reclaimed water close as you could get to potable water. And whether it turns into something in my cup or something that is used by industry, it really does open up some doors. But the federal funding is in doubt. Is that correct?
I don't know if the federal funding's in doubt. We don't believe it is. So we've been having conversations with the Bureau of Rec, and they tell us everything's fine. So this project is
check back next week.
Yeah, exactly. So
before you continue, John, for some background, on January 15th of this year, the City of Tucson, Tucson Water, signed an $86.7 million capital program agreement with the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. And this partnership was a significant milestone in advancing Tucson Water sustainability efforts by supporting long-term projects to safeguard the region's water resources for future generations. So this is a state-of-the-art facility. Tell our listeners a little bit about it.
Yes, advanced water purification, which just became a thing you can do in the state of Arizona, and we participated with ADEQ, Department of Environmental Quality, and utilities across the state to make sure that rules would be in place where communities like Tucson, like Phoenix, like Scottsdale can build these advanced state-of-the-science, state-of-the-art treatment facilities to be able to take the processed water from a wastewater treatment facility and take it beyond, and I think that's very important, beyond potable standards, beyond safe drinking water standards, and actually make a purified water product that could be put back into the drinking water system. So we made this proposal to the Bureau of Reclamation about 2 years ago now, and as part of their system conservation efforts for the Colorado River. So we said, you know, we can turn back about 56,000 acre feet over a number of years.
Which would be, I understand, about 8% of your total plant, of the plants that I've got a figure here. It says 8%. Of the plant's wastewater would go to that.
It's tied to the tied to the wastewater. I always think about it. How it's tied to the drinking water
to the wastewater side. It would boost really the whole wastewater portfolio.
It puts more of our wastewater portfolio locally, and not just city of Tucson, but all the participants. It puts it to more direct use, not just the reclaim system, not just aquifer recharge. We did have that deal with the Bureau of Rec in January, and we have a number of years that has to be constructed, this plant, by the Tres Rios, Pima County Tres Rios, formerly known as the Ina Road Plant, INA and I-10, by the September of 2031. Mm-hmm. So it's got a number of years for us to do planning, design, and ultimate construction, but it's going to end up producing about 2.5 million gallons a day of highly purified water. In an area of town where we actually need water, the northwest side. So we've lost a lot of wells because of groundwater contamination from PFAS in particular, which we've talked about on other shows.
Those are the forever chemicals.
Yeah. So coming up with an advanced water purification plant there will help the whole water system. But it'll only represent somewhere between 2 to 5% of the daily water used by Tucson Water. But what it does is it advances. It opens the door. And that's what we heard from our stakeholders in our One Water 2100 plan a few years back. They said, if there's opportunity to use recycled water to purify the drinking water, let's move in that direction. And lo and behold, only within a couple of years, an opportunity presented itself.
And Joe had his point is that we've heard so much of the, quote, chaos coming out of D.C. We don't know what's on and what is off in signed agreements. But from what I'm hearing you say, John Kameek, that every time you make the call, and I don't know how often you do it, but probably every day, is this thing still on? What you're hearing is it's a go.
Right. Yes, exactly. So we've made multiple calls to the Bureau of Reclamation headquarters in Denver, and they've told us everything is green light for Tucson. Mm-hmm. Now, there were several other communities that were trying to complete deals, let's say by the end of January, and they never got a signed agreement with the Bureau, and those obviously are in jeopardy or may not turn into projects.
I hate to be the guy with the black hat on the room, but we are also talking about an 8-year project, and we've known that the Trump administration has clawed back money that has already been spent. So this is going to be an ongoing concern for years to come. But the question I wanted to ask is, why is it going to take 8 years? I mean, that's a long time to build a water plant.
It is.
Yeah. It's a great question. And part of it is because of the rules. It's not like the treatment technology is not out there. And it's out there. And you have places in Texas, Florida, California that are well ahead of Arizona and moving forward with these advanced water purification plants. But Arizona's rules just came about. Tucson, Phoenix, and Scottsdale, we're all working together collaboratively with ADEQ to now, how do you implement the rule? How do you have the proper planning done so then you can do the proper design? And then once the design is done, then you can build the plant. And it is because we want to make sure that we're going to produce an ultra-secure, ultra-safe method in purifying this water that meets all standards. And whether you drive the Phoenix, Scottsdale, or Tucson, a glass of water should taste the same in our mind and should be regulated the same way. So that's
so the
part
state,
of the challenge.
The state was holding up this type of technology until the legislature said gave the green light. Was that how did that work?
In 2019, as part of some of the drought contingency measures in the state of Arizona, there was a recommendation to, which was in rule before, remove the prohibition on what used to be called direct potable reuse, going from a wastewater plant, purifying it, and put it in there. So
or
in Arizona,
a term that you guys hate in the industry, but I'm going to say it: toilet to tap. Oh boy!
That's how you age yourself,
Bo. I know. Yeah, okay, it's old school. Old school. But anyway, yeah.
So the prohibition on potable reuse or advanced water came off in 2019. With the governor and the legislature. And so it's been over the last few years that the water utilities with ADEQ have been doing analysis of what other states do, the proper, to build the regulatory framework. Mm. That regulatory framework just got approved by the state of Arizona in January. Mm. So now you see all these communities are moving full speed ahead to work under that framework.
Well, Jobs, I'm going to go back to that again. Building new plants, new industries, things like that have often been capped by the ability to provide that water. So with this new technology coming online, does that open some doors that maybe Tucson didn't have available to it 10 years ago?
Yeah, great question. What it does is it opens doors for our water, long-term water reliability and resilience for this whole community. So it was identified in our One Water Master Plan that the community and our stakeholders and working with our community said we cannot, as a community, count on the Colorado River to be there day in and day out for the next 100 years. So please look at keeping every drop local if it means purifying some of that wastewater to keep it local. Let's move in that direction. But more importantly, let's move in that direction while we're not in a water crisis. You never want to be a community that's under the gun because day zero we're running out of water is out there. Thankfully, Tucson's nowhere close to that in here in southern Arizona. So taking this opportunity to do this, take the time, take the 7 to 8 years to build this advanced water treatment plant, have this, and I'm going to say it's a small-scale plant. If it's only going to be 2 to 5% of our total daily demand currently, but what it does is it demonstrates the treatment technology. It builds a labor force that will understand these advanced technologies and these advanced treatment. So let's say in 30, 40 years from now, there's a change on the Colorado River. There's more people moving to Tucson. This community can, in a time of, great confidence, say, let's invest and build a 20 million gallon a day plant at Agua Nueva and Roger Road and I-10. So these are all the laying out the proper planning of water resiliency for the community and doing this not in a time of crisis.
We brought up forever chemicals, PFABs. What percentage did we lose with this? What percentage of our drinking water had to go offline, John? Of the problem.
It's a lot. And I kind of, it's 28 wells from our normal metropolitan drinking water system. And we use 28 wells, as well as the Tucson Airport Remediation Project, which used to clean water from the south side of Tucson, remove TCE originally. And then because of the impacts of PFAS coming into that well field, we took that offline as well. So that still treats the water, but it goes to the reason. So you got 38 wells. So it roughly makes up about 40 million gallons a day capacity when you add the south side wells and then everything impacted around the Santa Cruz. 40 million gallons a day is huge.
It is.
It's a huge amount. But
could you give us just a ballpark, so we know percentage-wise what that might be?
Our average like today?
Yeah.
Today, the customer base will use about 100 million gallons a day. So you're looking at 40% if we were still...
I did not realize that was that much taken offline because of that problem. Joe Ferguson.
Tell me about, so we're talking about PFAS. What's the plume like? Is it spreading?
It's, groundwater is always moves. It moves slowly, but it always moves. So there's impacted areas north of Davis-Monthan, going all the way to about the Broadway, Alvernon area, and then following the washes over to the, north-northwest of Tucson International Airport, Morris Air National Guard. There's impacted areas there, which are affecting the Tucson Airport remediation project. But not only is the groundwater directly impacted where the use of those foams were used, but because of the water courses, the washes near both those areas, as well as the Santa Cruz River going all the way into Pinal County, the groundwater directly underneath the Santa Cruz is highly impacted with PFAS as well. And so a combination of stormwater moving the water to the Santa Cruz, a combination of direct contamination at those areas, it's significant. You know, when I look at a map and I look at where we see PFAS detections, looking at the Tucson Basin, I would say probably 30% of the Tucson Basin has some level of impact because of PFAS.
Wow.
Yeah.
And for folks that we say forever chemicals, this had to do with firefighting foam that seeped into the environment. And we just had a gentleman on yesterday from Tucson International. They've got two fire trucks, new trucks on order. By the way, a new fire truck. How much does a new fire truck cost? A lot, like up to $1 million. But these trucks are specifically designed to handle the alternative to what went away with the PFABs. And this is the latest environmental friendly firefighting equipment. But anyway, it sounds like luckily, fortunately, this community can handle taking 40% offline, because some places they would not be able to handle that.
case in point, when I was the utility director for the town of Marana, they had two water systems along the Santa Cruz there in the Marana water system, and we had to go ahead and build an advanced water treatment plant to deal with PFAS chemicals in those areas because they did not have additional wells in the area that could blend that water or be able to use that. So, so they were forced in 2017, 2018, 2019 to build two plants very quickly.
And the standard is just a trace of that's bad news.
It's incredibly low. And that's the challenge. And because it is so low, and part per trillion, just for reference, part per trillion is one drop of water in 26 Olympic-sized swimming pools. when you talk part per trillion, we approach it at Tucson Water is it's just either there or it's not. So it's we're not going to haggle over a drop or two drops in 26 Olympic swimming pools. If we see it, we're not going to run that well. If we don't see it, then we're still fine.
But is the rest of the water very safe to drink in this town?
Oh, absolutely. And the water's always, always safe, Bill.
Sure.
That's why. But the one good thing to remember is it's mostly recovered Colorado River water. That's our dominant supply. And it's recovered from south of Tucson and west of Tucson in Avra Valley. So the majority of the community's water, Colorado River water, is banked west of the city of Tucson, where urbanization hasn't happened. So thankfully, we still see a very clean aquifer system west of town and just south of town near Pima Mine Road.
Just about out of time. Joe, did you have something else on your agenda? Speaking of where you were, the Tucson agenda. Okay. Any final question for John Kamik?
I just want to get a sense from you, 10 years from now, what do water rates look like?
That's a great question. Water rates usually has two primary drivers, and it's the cost of service, which includes capital, debt servicing, and operations and maintenance. So that's always there. And then you have inflation, and which ties into that. So to stay ahead, to be a utility that's at the forefront with infrastructure replacement, because everybody across the country, their infrastructure gets older and older and older. So having proper rates that stay ahead of inflation of all your operational costs, as well as stays ahead of infrastructure replacement, means there's always going to be drivers for water rates to be. So putting a number on it, it's hard to do right now, but it's not zero or going down. So.
And we had a quick question from a listener. How much water, John, is lost due to some of these ancient leaking iron pipes in parts of town?
Well, we don't measure it by what kind of pipe it is, but we do keep track, and it's a regulatory requirement to keep track of what's called lost and unaccounted for water or non-revenue water.
Uh-huh.
And that can happen in two ways. It can happen from actual leakage, which is wet water loss, or it could happen if our meters at the customer or meters at the production side are not calibrated properly. But we average somewhere between 7 and 9% normally is what's considered lost in the Tucson system right now. Mm. But by either not being measured properly or actual leaking and main breaks. And
from
stuff.
Old pipes
right.
and stuff?
Well, just any kind of leakage. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So that is significant.
It is significant. And something we're always chasing in utilities our size. Actually, I'll say every utility, you know, you want to be able to, whatever drop of water you produce, you want to be able to get it to a customer and monetize
try
it.
Try to hold right. the leakage down to a minimum, right?
Exactly.
John Kamik, always a pleasure. John from Tucson Water. How is your customer service doing? You're trying to work on that as well.
Customer service is doing great. We have a new group of trainees that are coming through the system, so mm-hmm. they're getting...
So when people call, they'll get answers.
Yeah, they'll get senior. They'll get senior people. They'll get newer people. But yeah, our customer department there is always looking to answer everybody's phone call. That same.
All right, John. I hope you have a joyous Easter holiday. Thank you.
You too,
very
Bill.
Much.
Thank you.
Thanks
Happy Easter, Tucson.
Same to you. All right, Joe Ferguson, Tucson Agenda. Stick around, Joe. A couple of quick questions for you in segment number 3 coming up right after this.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Thanks to John Kamik. John's the director of Tucson Water, a good conversation. And joining me, Joe Ferguson from the Tucson Agenda. And for folks that don't know about the agenda, quickly, Joe, what is it?
So we are a five times a week newsletter. Journalists own, journalists make decisions, and we are all veterans from the Daily Star working to provide news and politics to you on a daily basis.
So do you call it an online newsletter?
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Okay. Give us a quick rundown on what's the latest with the special election, congressional election.
So
that will be congressional district number 7.
Yeah, so we've got 11 candidates all in on it, 5 Democrats, 3 Republicans, and then 3 independents all running. And so I think you're going to see a lot of events, a lot of political advertisements, a lot of politics here in Southern Arizona, especially on that Democratic primary side.
Who's on the Democratic side? Who seem to be the ones spending the money?
So, I mean, we just reported that Daniel Hernandez had raised almost $320,000. I noticed he posted online that number is actually now closer to $400,000. And so he's got a lot of money already in his war chest. Due to a quirk in the FEC rules, we're not exactly sure how much Adelita Grijalva has raised so far, or one of the newer people that's joined the race, Deja Fox. She's also going to be probably a big player in these races coming up.
Who is she?
So she is a local who made her bones when she confronted Jeff Flake while she was still in high school.
Huh.
She went to Columbia University and has come back. She has been working for the Kamala Harris presidential campaign. She's been involved in other campaigns, and now she's going for her first time as a congressperson. She's 24 right now, but she'd be 25 when she would be elected if she wins, which is the minimum for serving in Congress.
And the Republican side, there is a familiar face who ran against Raul Grijalva the last time.
Yes, and so Mr. Boudieres, I believe is how we pronounce it, is back. He is in the race, and he's started to raise money. And so he's going to be a familiar face for Republicans who are in CD7. And, you know, this is probably the biggest chance for a Republican to try to take that seat when it's open.
And now our other congressional district is number 6.
Yes. And so we've got Juan Ciscomani. Obviously, he's been the source of a lot of political attacks lately from national Democrats, and as well as near weekly protests in front of his office. And so he's got 2 challengers so far, Joanne Mendoza, and as well as Chris Donats, who are both have run, filed, and submitted paperwork. It's early days for CD6, and it's largely going to be eclipsed by the special election this year, but people are getting involved in that race as well to challenge Juan for his third term.
How about a little teaser? There's a pretty well-known person who's about ready to announce.
Yeah, there is. And I think it's going to be big news next week, but I still mm-hmm. don't have anything official to say to your listeners mm-hmm. yet, but I think that there are more names that are going to absolutely get into the race.
Okay, and that one, there's still time, but this special election is fast-tracked. When is the primary?
The primary is July 15th.
Whoa. That is right around the corner.
It is.
So people are going to see a ton of ads.
Yes. Your mailbox. What we told our readers in the agenda was you should buy a bigger mailbox if you live in CD7.
Big mailbox. Okay. Joe Ferguson, again, Tucson Agenda, and give yourself a plug how people can access the agenda.
So you can just go to TucsonAgenda.com and sign up there for our newsletter. It's free to subscribe, but certainly we do our news through paid subscriptions, and the more paid subscribers we have, the more reporters we can put on the ground.
And these aren't people that, as I like to say, probably use it too much, that just got off the bus yesterday. You guys have been in the business.
I've been in the business for 15 years. My boss, Hank Stevenson, has been there just as long. Kurt worked with me for years and years.
Kurt Prendergast.
Yep. He worked at the Nogales paper and at the Daily Star as their opinions editor for several years. So we've also got Nicole Ludden, who is an incredible, talented young reporter who's working up in Phoenix right now. So we've got the whole state covered, and we've just launched a couple of verticals to cover the environment, to water, AI, as well as education, to make sure that we are in the places that we need to be and giving the news that people need to have.
Joe Ferguson, have a joyous Easter.
A joyous Easter.
Thanks a lot. Be right back with Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
All right, let's do Weekend Watch. Time for Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Only a three-hour drive or so from the Tucson area makes a great getaway in the land of enchantment. Start your planning now for a enchanting weekend by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. It's 60 degrees over there. They're going to have a great weekend. Plenty of time and great temperatures to do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. So check it out, southwestnewmexico.org. Matt Gentry is here, the very popular morning man on 101.7 The Drive. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Hello, Bill.
Everything going well?
Everything's going well, man.
And it is a very big weekend. It's the Easter weekend. Anything's going on that, or I know there's a lot going on, but what are you recommending specifically?
I mean, obviously, you can, if you want to do some Easter egg hunting, that's always fun.
Of course.
I haven't found any that are geared towards my age group, but they're mostly kids, so yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Let's see here. We got the Pima County Fair, of course. Which kicked off yesterday.
Oh, really? Already?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
Pima County
Sure
Fair.
Sign of spring.
That's right. And then the Rodder's Day Car Show. This is their 50th anniversary.
Yeah, I've heard you guys promoting that on 101.7 The Drive. Are you doing any remotes out there? At the
Ken Carr and I are going to be out there from 10 a.m. to noon. They have over 200 cars.
Some cool rides.
Oh,
I
man.
Bet.
Yeah. Yeah, we were there last year, and there was cars that I had actually never seen before personally. So,
like my old 1965 Mustang convertible that's been restored. Oh, it's not mine, but there'll probably be one out there. They're a classic.
What is your dream car, classic car?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe a Porsche Targa.
Wow.
Yeah, something
right.
like that.
You're
yeah.
kind of fancy, Bill.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, what else?
The Tucson Tango Festival. Actually, that's already over with.
Oh.
But the Children's Museum is having an Earth Day celebration, which is pretty cool. Of course, Children's Museum. I love going there. I like taking my grandkids over there, and they always get a handout. I get a kick out of it.
Preview of Earth Day, which is coming up actually Tuesday. Go ahead, Matt.
Oh, yeah. And then Easter Extravaganza. You want to guess where that is?
Yes, at our great sponsor, Reed Park Zoo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that is a definite must go to. That's a lot of fun. That's the one that I personally recommend the most.
When are you going to be out at the car show so people could come out, all your fans on the drive?
10 a.m. to noon. Ken Carr and myself will be out there. We've got a lot of great prizes to give away, and you get a chance to see some great cars.
All right. Have a great weekend.
Thanks,
joyous
Bill.
Easter to you and your lovely family.
Thank you
very much. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for the content of the program. Our thanks to my engineer-producer, Tom Fairbanks, and the entire team here at KVOI and our sister friends at Bustos Media and The Drive, people like Matt Gentry. Have a great weekend and a joyous Easter, everybody.